This is Sawyer Robertson, and you're listening to the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com.
Welcome into the Bearcast on Sikkim365, presented by WellMed Medical Management and Barefoot Camps Outfitter. Head over to Barefoot Camps Outfitter in Waco, or go to the website and use Sikkim365 as your code to save 20% off your purchase. I'm your host, Grayson Grunay. For today, I'm here with Colt Barber, and we're going to talk about Baylor's new defensive coordinator, Joe Klanderman. The Bears end up stealing Klanderman from Big 12 rival Kansas State. He will now be the defense coordinator, replacing Matthew Pallage, but he will also be the play caller, which was Dave Aranda's role a year ago. He coached safeties at Kansas State as well, so very likely he will just replace Matthew Pallage in that role as well. It's a very intriguing hire, and this is a guy who's coached some really, really good defenses during his time at Kansas State. And I think this is about the level of hire that we were thinking, if not a little bit higher. I think this is a really, really nice hire for the Bears and something that gives you some hope in them maybe completely revamping the defense going into the 2026 season.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a guy who became the defensive coordinator in 2020. So that was his first year. FEI defense for Kansas State in 2020 was number 80. But then 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, all top 30 defenses, only one outside the top 30, top 25, according to FEI. And that was in 25, and they were number 27. I know there's been some discussion about like Jake Spavadal when he came in as the offensive coordinator after the 23 season and how this could compare just on the opposite side of the ball. I mean, like, this is a proven track record now. And I understand that they had a good culture, but this is a guy that did in his career too. I mean, before he got to Kansas State, he was a good defensive coach. So a lot of skins on the wall. Now with the transfer portal too, like, you feel like he's a guy that goes out by who he needs. If he brings staff members with him, they kind of know what they're looking for and what they want to do. So it's a different world now. You hire a defensive coordinator like this who can go and attract portal players. It doesn't take long. And I'm not saying that this is the guy that saves Dave Aranda's job by any means. But if you're going to look for a quick turnaround, this is an opportunity to do it. This guy has skins on the wall, and he's done it in the Big 12. He's going to know the league. He's going to know the components to this. I don't know if you could have asked for a better play calling defensive coordinator hire at this juncture of a tenure Dave Aranda, who just looks like everything's just stacking up to the season. Like, if he doesn't win big, he's probably gone. And this kind of sets his best foot forward. And I think you give credit to Doug McNamee too, as a new AD, of saying, he said in his Q&A on Monday, we're going to give him all the resources that he can to win right now. We're going to put our best foot forward for him. And I think this is probably a testament to him to come in and get this done already.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's some other ways to look at this, but I think you mentioned the fact that, you know, defensively, he took over as the defense coordinator in 2020. He was on the Kansas State staff in 2019 as the safeties coach after moving over from North Dakota State with Chris Klieman. So he's been tied to Chris Klieman for, I think, since 2014. So, I mean, it's been a long time. So obviously it makes sense that he is moving on from Kansas State, even with Colin Klein coming in. They made the huge jump from 2020 to 2021. And I found this really interesting reading about him. He had never coached a three-man front before. And then in 2021, from 2020 to 2021, he switched his defense from a four-man front to a three-man front, and they went from 43rd, according to Massey. So they had an average defense to a legitimately great defense in 2021, and they kept that momentum in 22, 23, 24. And then this year, they had a rough year. They did not quite live up to the hype defensively. They did force a lot of turnovers, though, which has been a staple for him at Kansas State, as well as sacks, which are two areas that Baylor really has to improve in. Klanderman's done a really nice job of bringing that all together. I think the other part of this that's worth mentioning is, you know, when these moves happen, especially when it's not just a DC leaving, it's a head coach and a DC leaving a program. I mean, there's bound to be a lot of guys that enter the portal from that program as well. Specifically on the defensive side, I do think Colin Klein is going to hold a lot of weight with the offensive guys. Yeah. I think they're probably going to want to stay and ride that out, which makes a ton of sense. But I think defensively, there's an opportunity here for Baylor to potentially get a transfer or two from Kansas State at the end of this. And I think it's very, I'm not going to say it's completely the same because you can have your picks on who you like more, but remember Texas Tech hired Shiel Wood last year. Coming into this year, he went in there and helped them find this transfer portal class, find the right fits for his scheme. He brought in a couple guys from Houston as well to kind of help anchor that culture shift and that change. I think that could be really big for Klanderman as well during his first year at Baylor.
Yeah, so if you're a donor and give a lot of money, you can pull off what Texas Tech did this year. And I remember talking about what Tech did last year. And obviously, you're skeptical of if that can actually happen. I was super skeptical of, can you do that in an offseason? But you kind of put the right pieces in the right place, and it can work. And I do think there's some foundational pieces that if you keep a guy like Keaton Thomas, there's some hesitation on how good he actually was this year. I think he was solid. He just didn't have a lot around him to help defensive line specifically. But I think there's some pieces there. Like, talk about LeVar Thornton at cornerback, potentially Devin Turner returning at safe after an injury. Maybe Jackie Marshall comes back. There's a few pieces there and you can supplement with, you can build around. Who do you go after? I think Dave Aranda is right. Like he said it in his final verse, we're going to go heavy on the defensive and offensive line. Well, you got to spend money in those areas. So I kind of say that in jest about if you have money, but I think Baylor's going to have commit money. And we've seen it with the high school recruiting class. Just basically like, look, we can go and get a few guys in replacement for a few high school guys that are going to help us immediately. And I don't think for a second, and I don't know if Kansas State was trying to retain. I don't know that process yet. I don't know if we'll ever know what the outlook was there. But you're going into your first head job. That's probably something that you look for. So I don't know what Colin Klein's look but Klanderman is going to be able to come in and identify guys that he wants for this scheme, and he better have money to spend. And I was going with that. Maybe Baylor has said, hey, we have money for you to spend this year to go out and get these guys, plus one that's leaving Kansas State. So I'm really intrigued for the next few weeks. We've talked about evaluation of the portal is important for a defensive coordinator. You can't just wait until December 31st to get a guy in there. Like, there's so much that has to be done before that portal opens. So the next few weeks are going to be a lot of fun of who they identify, who they offer, which Kansas State players announce that they're going into the portal, because we could really kind of start seeing what this Baylor defense could look like in 2026.
Absolutely could. And I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, following Tech's model. I think it's also important to mention that while Tech did bolster their offensive and defensive lines a ton, and they spent a lot there, focused a lot there, they also did spend a lot at other positions as well. Sure. Like it wasn't just like, oh, all we're going to do is spend on the offensive line, defense line. Like, I think they got one of the best, a top five running back out of the portal who didn't even play this year for them. Got Terrence Carter at tight end, their best receiver, Reggie Virgil's a transfer guy. Mm-hmm. So like they spent money at other positions too. But obviously the headliner is the fact that their defensive line specifically is basically all transfers.
Spent a lot of money there.
Spent a lot of money there. And you look at the offense line, they spent money there, but only two of those guys are starting because they lost Hunter Zambrano early in the season. So I think my point in all that is, yes, it's great to attack the portal. Yes, it's great to go find those guys who can elevate your defense and your offense. But Baylor also has to develop guys. Because if you want to replicate what Tech did, Tech developed quite a few guys on that defense. I mean, their linebacker core probably is the best in the Big 12. And those guys weren't transfers this year. I think Rodriguez transferred in, I think, 2 years ago. But yeah, this defense is still built on development. And then you look at their offensive line, they got a couple guys they developed as well, their receiving core. Like, you still have to be able to develop these pieces and bring back the pieces that you want and the pieces that you need. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, kind of the pieces that Baylor elects to keep or are able to keep, how they develop those pieces, then obviously how the roster, you know, rounds up and what your ceiling looks like after the transfer portal.
Yeah, and I mentioned like Keaton Thomas, Devin Turner potentially coming back. Hopefully, you know, he's able to come back and be what he was at Northwestern. Jackie Marshall, LeVar Thornton, there's some pieces that are there. Because we saw what Keaton Thomas could do back. If you look back to the season 2024 playing next to Mac Jones and in a better defensive line, those guys have potential. And so around them, I think that's why you fully lean into Klanderman and say, what do you need? And this is what we're the resources we're giving you. So I think there's reason for excitement, but obviously that's cautious. And I think that you just say, let's see how this plays out. It reminds me of 2023 with the offense of, man, you got the portal, you got resources to go get guys. Who are you going to go get and how can this flip? Well, then you saw that kind of come to a head and it actually worked. You look at on the offensive line with Omar Abedi and Michael Trigg, obviously. Sawyer Robertson was a transfer before the receivers that they got. So this reminds me of that. Can it all work in one? Can it happen? That's a big question mark. I don't know. There's no way to answer that right now. And I think the good news is that in this era that you can make it work. It can potentially work really quickly. But it's going to take a lot of work from a lot of people. And they're going to have to hit a home run in the portal because they just recruiting class where they just said, hey, we're going to walk. I'm assuming you're going to see more guys enter the portal. DJ Coleman was one. I think they fought for it. I think they wanted him. But it's all not going to break the bank for you. Which guys leave out of this current roster? And how much money do you have available to spend? Because unfortunately, that's the name of the game now. If you're going to go to the transfer portal and try to make waves, you got to have money to spend. And hopefully Baylor has some.
Right. That's a good point on DJ Coleman. I think one thing to mention with him is his lead recruiter was Matthew Pallage, who is now at North Texas. And I think him leaving was at a time where Baylor had a lot of uncertainty still. Obviously now Klanderman is in place, but
yeah,
there was a lot of uncertainty as to what that was going to look like. And I think he's going to end up at a Power Four school. I think he's a good player and one that definitely, like you mentioned, Baylor would have liked to have had back. I do think there are guys that they can kind of figure out a way to replace that position with. I mean, we saw Bo Onu play a little bit. I do think with DJ leaving, though, that's probably a position that they're going to have to address in the portal, that star position, which, man, star and edge have both been just positions that Baylor's really struggled with. Edge has been a problem since Dave Aranda got to Baylor, really. I mean, there hasn't been a superstar on the edge that they've had. And star, obviously, since Petrie left, it's been just a revolving door. They haven't gotten guys locked in there. So we'll see kind of how that all plays out. I do think the main things on Klanderman, he's got NFL guys. He's got multiple NFL draft picks. If you go through kind of his entire time at Kansas State, has a first round pick in Felix Anudike Uzoma, Juju Brent's a second round pick, a couple other secondary guys who he developed who end up being NFL draft picks. I think the staple with him is what we talked about a little bit earlier. Sacks, turnovers, pretty good secondary play. I think the secondary play has been his biggest area, his biggest calling card. You put those three together, I think that's what Baylor is looking for here. And then you turn to the portal to find the guys who are going to win up front. I think that's kind of where you put this all together and you go, man, so you got Klanderman, you got Paul Gonzalez coaching your secondary. That's going to be a pretty well-coached secondary. I mean, it's about as well-coached as you could possibly hope for. And now if you can get things shored up front, I think you feel really good that the secondary is going to be coached up really well. Now you just need difference makers to get after the quarterback and hopefully a linebacker core that takes a step forward after last year. But I think in general that this guy has shown a lot during his time at Kansas State. I think he's shown that his defense is going to play hard. I think he's shown that his defense is physical. They're not always the most talented defense. They don't always, you know, out-talent the other team. A lot of it is scheme-oriented and physicality-oriented, and I really like that. That's something Baylor needs to get back to because I felt like over the past few years, they've just been a little bit too soft on defense, just is what it is. And I think technique-wise, there's another level they can get to as well.
Yeah, and I think, too, like if you look at potentially guys coming in from Kansas State and you evaluate them one-to-one versus a kid coming from G5 school, P4 school, wherever, they say, well, this kid's obviously more talented. But I think that you're going to have more weight in a guy that's coming from state. I mean, you see this across the board right now when defensive coordinators make changes and they go elsewhere, they go up a level or they just go to their school and guys follow them. They're prioritized because when they come into play, they're scheme ready. And that's, I don't think that can be overlooked when we start talking about Kansas State guys. So if they're guys hitting the portal, watch closely to those being prioritized, even though you might not technically. Oh, this kid's a 90. Why are we looking? Well, for precise reasons of they're coming with scheme readiness and they're going to be ready to go. And I think that becomes a valuable thing. And that's pretty much understood, but I think it's a good point to make. And then in general, what are these guys that are returning? Carl Williams, for instance, like, how does he fit in scheme wise? And are you recruiting him to return and play these positions? And not, Carl might not be the best example because he stayed hurt. But I'm really interested to see how some of these guys fit in scheme. Cause like DJ Coleman, like maybe he takes a second look and say, okay, let me look at the scheme, see how these things work. I'm comfortable at Baylor. And I'm not saying he's going to come back, but there's so many moving parts in this transfer portal thing. But Klanderman, you mentioned with Paul Gonzalez, the back end of that defense is going to be strong. And I mean, you watch Kansas State play over those last five, and really this goes back 15, 20 years, but Kansas State just seems to always play good, solid, sound defense. And that's what you're going to get. In my mind, year one, we'll see the top end of that. But with Klanderman, I think that you're going to get this just solid schematic defense. Guys know where they're supposed to be. That doesn't mean they're always going to be in the right spot, but they're going to play solid defense. And you couple that with a Jake Spavital offense, and, you know, we talked about at the beginning of 2025, if Baylor can have a top 25 offense, and they can get a top 50 defense, how good does this team be? I mean, this might be your chance to figure all that out in this make or break year for David. You know, we said that this past year, but this is truly a make or break year. You never know what could happen. I'm anxious to see it, and it does create a little bit of excitement, a little bit of buzz for me that I might have otherwise had, depending on who they hired at the defense coordinator position.
I think so as well. I think there's just stability and kind of a sure thing with this hire, not necessarily a sure thing that this is going to be like a top 10 defense or anything like that. Right. But I think it's more of a sure thing that you're going to get reliable football, and potentially based on his track record at Kansas State, I mean, his worst years, this is still a top 50 advanced analytic defense. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like that's crazy. The expectation. And if they can get to a top 50 defense, I do think that this team ultimately will be very competitive, because I do trust Jake Spavital to put out a pretty good offense. I think we've seen that. Maybe they won't invest as heavily this year on the offensive side as far as skill positions go, but I do think when you look at the analytics at the end of the year, I do think that this Baylor offense going into next year will end up being a top 25 offense. I mean, this year they had all their problems and they were still a top 25 offense according to advanced analytics. So I expect that to bounce back.
Yeah. And yeah, that was, you know, if you're able to run the football, and that's the one thing, the biggest question mark is going to be with this is because Kansas State was such a ball control offense while they were there. It really took pressure off the defense. Well, how does that defense react to a offense that's just kind of going to go and go? And Dave Aranda gave full ability or full control to Jake Spavital on this offense. I don't expect that to change. So how does that impact Klanderman's defense? He's never really dealt with that before. So that will probably be my biggest question mark of what is that defense going, how is that defense going to react when they go for it on fourth down, you know, on fourth. But a great opportunity to mesh those two things together. And I'm going to refer to the LSU, the defense, the national championship defense, and obviously no comparison between those, but that was an offense that was different than what Danda was used to. And they had to play different. And so is that maybe you can mix and match these two different schemes and they work well together. And who knows, maybe this one's that they take the football away a lot and necessarily get a ton of stops, but you're getting turnovers, you're getting forcing field goals, and that's kind of what Kansas State's always done. And it could be a really good match because they felt like Baylor tried to do that, but they couldn't get turnovers and they couldn't get down stops. And that's not going to work if that's what you're trying to do. I mean, if you're trying to do it and you're not doing it, then it's obviously not a successful season. So I'm excited. I think there's reasons to be excited about this. But you also can be guarded, and there's nothing wrong to feel on both ways about the direction this could go.
I'm just looking forward to a more physical and more attacking defense, and I do think that's what Joe Klanderman is going to bring to Baylor. Ultimately, a really good hire for the Bears, a really nice start to this kind of hiring process season as we get closer and closer to the transfer portal. Colt and I will be back hopefully in the coming days, maybe in the next week, to talk a little bit more about kind of where Baylor football is at from a transfer portal perspective, maybe some new hires that come into the fold as well. But we will talk to y'all again soon. Thanks for listening. This has been the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com.